Good Friday. Today is May the 16th, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, insects is the topic of discussion for today. Primarily at the beginning, we want to talk about some good garden bugs and things we can do to encourage those to habitate our garden. After that, we're going to talk about Asian longhorn beetles and everything we can do to try and eradicate that pest. We'll be back with the details after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
We're going to start off this Friday morning taking a look out in the backyard and garden, and we want to talk about insects, but today we want to sort of turn the tables and talk about beneficials. A lot of folks, when they hear about insects, are only thinking the negative. They're thinking pests. But most insects are actually neutral or beneficial when it comes to plants in the garden. Insects provide many ecosystem services, such as pollinating crops, making nutrients available through decomposition, and consuming insect pests, the beneficials we're talking about that go against the ones we don't want. Insects are essential in the food web as food for birds, mammals, and many others. And good garden bugs are those insects, the predators that eat the other insects, the prey in this case. And at some point in their life cycle, they all play different roles. These predatory insects and their spider cousins patrol landscapes to find insect prey to fuel their activity, to feed their young, or to lay eggs in on or even near. Good garden bugs provide free natural pest management in the garden and also add to the garden's biodiversity. Now, most good garden bugs also need nectar or pollen to survive, and so to provide that food, you can include different plants, different flowering types of plants, if you will, in your landscape. Different flower shapes, sizes, colors, and more importantly, bloom times will invite many beneficial insects to the garden, including the predators, pollinators, and the parasitoids, but having those different bloom times is what's important so that there's constantly a food source for the pollinators that are there, and then also, it attracts the other ones that your predators can go after. Many good garden bugs have short mouth parts that can't reach deep into some of the flowers for nectar or pollen. So we want to make sure in the gardens we have plants with shallow flowers. That would be things like dill, Queen Anne's lace, or even parsley, and a lot of things in the carrot family also fit within that. Many flowers in the daisy, mustard, and pea family also provide easy access to some of that food. It is recommended to allow a few stems of herb and vegetable plants to actually to remain in flower after the main harvest is complete. Basil, broccoli, lettuce, mustard, onions, and many other edible plants do offer nectar and pollen when those are in flower, but often the flowering comes at a time later than when we would normally harvest them. Some plants have extra floral nectary structures found on the leaves, stems, or other plant parts besides the flowers. Insects can use this nectar as an energy source. In exchange for nectar, those predator insects may also collect and eat pests on nearby plants. It's also sort of important to learn that we do have to tolerate some pest activity. A patch of aphids will attract hoverflies, lady beetles, and lacewings, so consider a few pests almost as a lure to call in those control forces that then will patrol for other pests as well. Habitat elements such as rocks, straw, mulch, compost piles, brush piles, even leaves, wooden that's decomposing, are safe places for overwintering locations for some insects. So we talk about the importance of cleaning up the garden in the fall so that we get rid of disease and insect pests, but there's certain ones we do maybe want to make sure somewhere on the property there is habitat for. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. Well, we're going to change directions now. Still talk about insects, but really focus on the pest side. And these are some we definitely do not want when it comes to the Asian longhorn beetle. Now, planning and work between USDA and state agencies occurs annually in addressing the threat of these invasive species pests on our nation's hardwood trees. USDA's Rod Bain has this update.
It's an annual happening of planning and implementation.
APHIS works closely with federal and state officials to detect and eradicate Asian longhorn beetle infestations. ALB was first found infesting trees in Brooklyn, New York in August 1996, and it currently is quarantined in four states: New York, Massachusetts, Ohio, and South Carolina.
Catherine Bronski of USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service explains why the invasive pest known as Asian longhorn beetle threatens hardwood trees.
It kills trees like maple, birch, elm, horse chestnut. There's 12 genera of hardwood trees that this beetle attacks, and it does that through the larva stage. So the larva grows inside trees, and it feeds on the living tissues that carry nutrients to the tree, and it can attack trees anywhere in the United States. And once a tree is infested, there is no cure for it.
The collaborative planning for eradication and control of ALB occurs every year between APHIS, other USDA agencies such as the U.S. Forest Service and Agricultural Research Service, and state organizations where Asian longhorn beetle quarantine sites are located. Bronski explained such plans follow a similar development path.
We conduct surveys to limit the scope of the infestation, really trying to find out how far has the beetle spread to trees in an area. And once we do that, we have established a quarantine area that helps to regulate the movement of wood products and other hosts that could potentially spread Asian longhorn beetle to new areas. Really do education with the community to let them know why they can't move firewood from their backyard or other things outside of the quarantine area.
With quarantines lifted after several conducted surveys and removal of all infested trees within an area. In addition, APHIS and impacted states work to develop new eradication strategies.
One example, our state partners in New York and Ohio this year are exploring options for insecticide treatments in localized areas. This is just to protect non-infested trees from becoming infested with Asian longhorn beetle. Once it's infested, we can't use treatment. But this may be a good option to help prevent the beetle from spreading to new areas.
She adds, this planting strategy has a record of success in Asian longhorn beetle eradication and control in affected areas.
There were previously infestations in Illinois, Boston, Massachusetts, New Jersey, even New York City. And over time, and with our partnership with our state partners, we were able to eradicate Asian longhorn beetle from these areas, and they no longer have it there.
More information about Asian longhorn beetle and control efforts are available online at www.asianlonghornbeetle.com. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.